We've seen epic comebacks, narrow margins and devastating injuries. With another single-digit victory on Thursday night against the Tigers, are the Blues the new Pies? And what about poor old Josh Gibkiss with an expected ACL? We've also seen a supposed 8-year plan at the Dons, but more about that in a moment. Brownlow favourites have been crowned, stars on the rise and fall have been declared, and teams have been locked into finals and the doldrums, and some teams haven't even played yet. Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Bellairs. On today's show, we'll catch up with Josh Barnes to talk the Bombers. Josh went one-on-one with Peter Wright ahead of the weekend's round one match against Hawthorn, and Chris Kavanagh joins us again to talk draft prospects. Let's get into it, shall we? Josh Barnes joins the podcast for the first time in 2024. G'day, Josh.
Andy, loving your work so far, mate. First season, first week was pretty good. Second week, even better by the sounds of it. Now I'm on.
Only as good as your next episode, Josh. You've been to the Bombers.
Yes.
The Bombers is all the talk at the moment. The fans are baying for a finals performance. Brad Scott's holding back the tide, 8-year plans. But you've spoken to Peter Wright in what is going to be his comeback weekend.
Yeah. It's a difficult one out at Essendon at the moment. I think them and the Western Bulldogs are the two most talked about sides heading into this season that everyone thinks need to play finals. Brad Scott spoke to us last week and floated the idea of an 8-year plan, which I don't think Essendon fans were really loving so much. A great read by Jay Clark, but I don't think they liked it too much. Yeah, I sat down with Peter Wright leading into this week, and the players are trying to be hesitant about it. They're talking about career progression and taking things seriously and all that sort of stuff, but they know the noise that's coming from outside. They know the fan base is baying for a final win. It's been 20 years since that finals win. They know the pressure that's coming into this year, so I think Essendon is going to be a huge watch heading into this season.
I was there 20 years ago because the Essendon beat my team, Melbourne, in 2004, and we were robbed that day. But anyway, so they shouldn't even have won 20 years ago. I kind of feel like that 8-year plan, in inverted commas, was slightly unfair to poor old Brad Scott. He was kind of talking about that he thinks he has a group of players who could play together for all of 8 years, and if they did, then success will come. So, I mean, I feel like it's been made out to sound like he's saying, wait 8 years and we'll win a premiership in 8 years' time. So I think he's thinking it'll come a little earlier. But Peter Wright, he was a revelation when he arrived from the Gold Coast to Essendon. But he's sort of on the comeback trail now. He obviously adds something to the Bombers.
Yeah, he won a best and fairest in 2022. So he cruised through, kicked over 50 goals that year. He was going to be their full forward for years to come. And he said it was comical, the timing last year. It was the Thursday before round one. So about 72 hours before the first bounce. And he pulled his shoulder out, dislocated it. He thought it felt okay, thought maybe it can come back in, but really once the blood came to it, it was over for him. He came back halfway through the year, but he came back not at his best. He admitted that he wasn't really flying as he should be. And now he's going to step into a brand new forward line, essentially. Kyle Langford kicked 50 goals in his absence last year. Harry Jones barely played last year. He'll be starting on the weekend against Hawthorn. Jay Gresham's come from St Kilda. So they've remodeled everything in the front half. And I think that's part of the almost confusion about the 8-year talk is, I know what you mean, that Brad Scott's not talking we're only going to win a flag in 8 years' time, but they're trying to build a window of being good for 8 years like some other teams have. But it is a bit confusing when your coach says that and then you're bringing in players like Mackay, Goldstein, Gresham. These guys aren't young players. They're ready-made in the prime, maybe in the back-end prime of their careers. You're expecting to win now with those kind of players. So Peter Wright, I think, will be a spearhead up forward. Whether they can improve enough, I think it's going to be the question with those incoming players and whether they can make the eight after what was a disastrous last 2 weeks last year.
And Goldstein is the interesting one when you talk about that. I mean, Mackay is sort of still, you know, in the prime or coming into the prime of his career. They're hoping because they've paid a lot of money for him. And Gresham, you know, came out with a bang for the Saints and has sort of tailed off a little bit. So they're hoping they can bring him back to be that sort of exciting forward midfielder game winner that he always promised to be at the Saints. But Goldstein at 34 and almost 300 games of or 300 games of league football for North in the ruck where, you know, they get beaten up and battered. That was always an interesting one for me.
Yeah, fascinating. It's a funny one that you see sometimes in footy and all sports where a player plays for 15 years at one club and then just suddenly appears at the other one for 1 year. You see it a little bit. I think the way they play. Brad Scott has always played with two rucks, so he wants to get two rucks out there. I think if Andrew Phillips hadn't retired, a little bit surprisingly to Essendon last year, they would have just kept him on the list and probably wouldn't have gone after Goldstein. But if he's going to be your sort of backup, if Draper's ready and fit, then it's a good option for them. I feel for Nick Bryan, who had plenty of other suitors last year. He's played a lot of AFL footy for Essendon in the ruck, signed a two-year deal, and then about 2 weeks later, it sort of emerged that the Dons were chasing Todd Goldstein. So I don't think he'll be too pleased, but Sam Draper looks like he'll be missing round one, maybe a little bit longer. We'll see how he goes. It's been a slow build from that groin surgery. So Todd Goldstein's going to be needed, and he's going to be starting the very first bounce on the weekend.
And they're playing the traditional Saturday afternoon MCG.
You love it, Andy. That's your time slot.
It is because it's to me, it's footy. You know, I know a lot of people love, you know, night games and it's the atmosphere and all that sort of stuff. But I think footy belongs Saturday afternoon at the MCG, and they're playing Hawthorn, which is traditionally a blockbuster. You know, they're the line in the sand game from 20 odd years ago and the grand finals of the 80s. But they are two teams who have a lot to prove. Hawthorn's coming up. Essendon is trying to stay and build a little more because Essendon did start really well last year. So even if they do start well again this year, the fans probably aren't going to be completely convinced.
Well, Essendon were fifth on the ladder after round 17 last year. They were more than in the finals hunt then, and things fell apart disastrously in the back end. So they should be right in that mix again. Hawthorn had a nightmare sort of intra-club match a couple of weeks ago where all the tall defenders got injured. I asked Peter Wright about this, whether he looked at the opposition sheet and saw all those injuries and his eyes lit up, and he was very smart about it. Unfortunately for us, Andy, Peter, he was very smart saying anybody that steps on a field is a good AFL player. I wasn't looking at it like that. But traditionally, if you looked at the names that were going out of the Hawthorn side, you'd back Peter Wright for a bag. He kicked six last time he played Hawthorn. They are expecting 80,000 on Saturday for this game. Essendon is expecting to tip over that, and they are planning, as we broke the news last week, that they're going to play this round one continuously, Essendon v Hawthorn, over and over. And if you look at the schedule, the way Carlton and Richmond own Thursday night, it might just be Saturday afternoon round one in perpetuity at the MCG. So if they can bank 80,000, then it'll be a good start for those two.
Oh, and the AFL would love the chance, you know, because the big crowds, the blockbuster games are at night and the big crowds come at night. But, you know, 80,000 in the sunshine when it's still daylight savings, and, you know, so people get there in the daylight, they get home in the daylight, they, you know, it's, yeah, why not? Round one, make it the blockbuster round. They tried to do that a couple of years ago when the Melbourne Bulldogs played on the Wednesday night and then the Carlton and Richmond played. But the Bombers, yeah, you're right. I mean, being fifth after round 17, I saw them play against Melbourne, you know, my team, and they were
excellent.
They looked really damaging and really, you know, they blew the D's off the park sort of early in the year around May sometime last year. But yeah, it really just fell apart for a team that has a supporter base, as we said, that is getting very impatient after 20 years.
Yeah, and we've spoken a little bit about Peter Wright in the forward half, but it's the defensive half that's been the issue. Brad Scott was open about that when speaking to us last week, and I had a look back, and they haven't finished in the top eight for points conceded since 2014. So it's a long way back. That's a full decade of being in the bottom half of defences year after year. You thought accidentally you might have had teams kicking enough points that you'd get up there. So that's been the problem for a long, long time. Ben McKay is hopefully coming in to fix that. Zach Reid, the mythical Zach Reid, will be playing this weekend, hopefully. So we'll see what he can do if he gets a full season in. And they think they can finally start turning things around slowly.
Yeah, and the Bombers are celebrating 40 years since the 84 Premiership as well. So they've got a bit to play for.
Do you remember that, Andy?
That was the year I was born, Josh, so I don't remember that. I think my first football memory of the 87 finals, but I don't remember Jim Steins running across the mark. I was too little for even the specificity of that.
And I'm sure Jim Steins would have wished he could have forgotten all those years after.
Oh, yeah. But he won a brown. Anyway, well, that's in the past, Josh. We're talking about the Bombers and the Hawks. They're playing Saturday afternoon, MCG at 1:45, so even earlier than the traditional time. You'll be there?
Yep, I'll be there. I think Essendon should win. I think Hawthorn are going to struggle. I guess bold prediction into the year was that Hawthorn would finish on the bottom of the ladder. I find their defence is a real, real worry. Yeah. We'll find that out, I guess, on Saturday.
Absolutely. It's always nice for those of us who lived through the years of Hawthorn's domination to see Hawthorn down the bottom of the ladder too.
Yeah, and some fans will be happy that we're talking about Essendon desperately trying to win a final after 20 years as well.
Exactly. Josh, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Andy.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life and Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
And 2 weeks in a row, we're joined by Chris Kavanagh. G'day, Kev.
Good to be on again, Andy.
Now, Kev, it feels like we're only just out of the draft of last year, but we had round zero last week and round one this week, and some of those draftees are already playing in the AFL. So the under-18 testing day was last weekend. What's come out of that?
Yeah, so that was really the start of the season. I guess in a way, the Coates Talent League season here in Victoria officially starts on the 23rd of March. So that's only a week away now. But the testing day was the first big moment for all the players and as they warm into their draft year. And this year is looking like very much a midfielder's draft. That's who a lot of the recruiters at the testing day would have had their eyes on. Last weekend, most of the top 10 are probably likely to be midfielders and a lot of the top 30, to be honest. So there's some incredible depth of midfielder stocks, particularly from Victoria as well, limited talls at the top end. But yeah, it's looking like being a pretty reasonable draft all in all.
Now talk us through some of the top prospects in this year's draft.
Levi Ashcroft is probably one of the other standouts. So he's obviously father-son prospect for Brisbane this year. He's a brother of Will, son of Marcus, premiership player up there at the Lions. He's a midfielder who can go forward, kicks goals. He's playing for Sandringham Dragons in the Coates Talent League this year. And some people think he could be the number one pick if he wasn't tied to the Lions, obviously, which might change things a little bit and push him back a spot or two, like Will was a couple of years ago. So he's one. Sid Draper from South Australia's their best prospect. He won the MVP for his stay as a bottom age player at the national champs last year. He's a brother of Arlo Draper, actually, who got drafted to Collingwood in 2021, delisted at the end of last year. But he's another tough on baller. Jagger Smith's another one. So he's a Victorian as well. Crafty, clean midfielder, great at ground level. Can go forward and kick goals too. And he'll be starting the season for Oakley Chargers. Playing a little bit more forward to show what he can do up there. He looks up to Connor Rosie, so if he can be anything like him, he'll be a pretty special player as well. And Josh Smiley's probably the other one if we're just picking out five here. He's a tall and big-bodied midfielder from Eastern Rangers in the Coast Talent League. He looks up to a Patrick Cripps. He's at 194-centimetre type, big-bodied on-baller. So they're probably the five standouts as we sit early in the year.
Now you mentioned Levi Ashcroft, who is a strong father-son for the Lions, to follow in his brother Will's footsteps. Who are some of the other father-son prospects?
Yeah, so Levi obviously is the number one, I think, this year. But there's a couple others too, which are worth keeping an eye on. Adelaide's got access to Tyler Walsh, who's a powerful marking forward, son of Scott, who played 129 games for the Crows. Tyler kicked five goals in an under-18 national champs game for South Australia last year as a bottom-age player. Looked really good. So very excited to see him play this year. And then Carlton is the big one. So they've got access to two this year in twins Ben and Lucas Camporeale, who are both midfielders or running half-backs. Ben's a right-footer. Lucas is a left-footer. So that's quite interesting. They've got a little bit of difference there, but both really smooth movers. They look great in the under-17 Futures game on Grand Final Day last year. And, sons of Premiership player Scott, obviously, a 1995 flag winner for the Blues. So they're both playing for Glenelg in the Sandful this year, and they're really exciting ones to watch as well.
Kev, you mentioned the midfielders draft. If there isn't the same level of quality in key position prospects in the under-18 leagues, does it skew the competition?
Potentially. I mean, it just swings in roundabouts a little bit, doesn't it? Because we had some talls picked in the top 10 last year. Nate Caddy, Connor O'Sullivan wasn't far behind. And we had a number one pick a couple of years ago was Aaron Cabman. So we have had some talls at the top end in recent years. Last year, there was a bit of everything, really. There was some small forwards in there, some rebounding defenders, some midfielders, some talls, some rucks. Even Will Green went to the Swans in the top 20. So there was a bit of everything last year. This year looks like more of a midfielders, but some of those talls do take a little bit of time to develop. So some could come on a bit more this year. There's certainly a few around. There's a few key forwards in and rucks in the AFL Academy. So there's a few talls in there, but they're just not at the very top end at the moment.
Coates League starts on March 23, and we know you will have plenty more draft news and views in the months to come to share with us. Chris Kavanagh, thanks for your time.
No worries, Andy.
That'll probably do us. Thanks again to my guests, Josh Barnes and Chris Kavanagh. Remember, all the footy coverage across the weekend culminating in Mark Robinson's highly anticipated tackle on Sunday night. We'll catch you next week.
Are you ready to get an inside look at crime from someone who has investigated some of Australia's worst crimes?
It was like Aladdin's cave. The luminol found bloodied footprints and bloodied handprints on a wall. So it's just like a horror movie.
Former homicide detective Gary Jubelin sits down with cops, crims, addicts, victims, small-time cheats, and big-town lawyers as they tell their incredible stories.
My house got raided. Next thing you know, I got bail refused. Next thing you know, I'm on a truck to Parklea Prison.
Listen to I Catch Killers early and ad-free on Crimex Plus on Apple Podcasts today or wherever you get your podcasts.